brought to you by Currency Fair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon and you are tuned to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. The Sideshow Garden Podcast is available weekly in iTunes, all good podcast stores and via sideshow.com. If you wish to get in touch, if you hear anything on today's show, you're walking, you've got your headphones on, you're cycling, just send us a note at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow or sideshow.com, and you'll find all of the show notes and links and pictures and images and bits and bobs, and you can go there and you'll see a logo on the right hand side and it says currencyfair.com. When you go and click that, Currency Fair, proud sponsors of the show, will turn around and go, hey, ooh, there's the people who listen to this, who are listening to Peter talking, they're clicking the thing and they're going to set up an account. They may not do a trade and we may not make any kind of a payment on this, but they will notice it because they're smart people, which is why they know that you're listening, which is why they're giving me the dough, which gets me to go to the Garden Media Guild Awards and put the Sideshow up and also buy this piece of equipment that I'm talking through at this moment in time, which allows me to speak to today's guest. We'll get to that in just 1 minute. Can I just thank you for showing your love towards Currency Fair? Because let's be quite frank about this. If you didn't show them love, if they didn't get any hugs, virtual hugs, but hugs nonetheless, then they would probably be a long, long, long time gone, I would guess, by now. So for that, for showing them that little bit of kudos, that bit of respect, that courtesy, thank you so much. Right, well, let's get to today's guest. Because what happened was, Tim Howell on Twitter, a very good friend of the show, sent me a note saying, Peter, are you aware of a lady by the name of Pip Probert? I'll be quite frank about it and tell you that I was not aware of Pip, much to my shame, because her biography reads like a little bit of a who's who. And when you start to realise, and maybe it's when you get a little bit older, I don't mean older, but maybe you're a little bit late into horticulture, maybe your son has just started studying horticulture and you're scratching your head going, why? Why is he doing this? I've seen this Donegan fellow. He's got a face for radio. He looks mildly perturbed sometimes. Perturbed. Yeah. Get a dictionary or a thesaurus. Seriously. Thesaurus. We won't get into the pronunciation of that because, as you're well aware, I've already had this pronunciation game with Leah Leendert's former guest of the show. She was on a week or two ago. My phone's ringing. My phone's ringing. Apparently there are two dogs missing in Ballyball. Let me see. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Apparently, my pronunciation of Almanac is incorrect. And I now have Tim Howell, who also put me in touch with Pip Probert, sending me video footage of Back to the Future Part 2, where Biff mentions Almanac in it. I have suggested to the lovely people, this is Leah and Tim, that we should come to a pub in Dublin, where this matter can be discussed in great detail. Now, the matter, as you would rightly be well aware from maybe being in a pub in Dublin on maybe, let's say, the day before St. Patrick's Day, the matter may never be resolved. But that is not the objective. Back to today's guest, however. If, and let me put this in context, if you were ever on the verge of going through college, if you ever had a son who was going through college, if you ever scratched your head and said, what way should I build my career? How should I do this? And just to put in context here, I knew in my head and my plan, my business plan, and although you may know me as maybe joking and jesting ever so slightly, my plan, my long-term career plan, was always to be in business by the time I was 25. I did it with months to spare, but I did it nonetheless. My second objective, my apologies, was to have my first awards at the highest level possible by the age of 30 years of age. That was also achieved. 15 years in business, you will hear me noted in today's show. By the age of 30, I had pretty much achieved all of the things that I wanted to do from when I first went to college. And I'll pause that there. From when I first went to college, that's my phone going off again. I am really popular these days, like you would not believe. To Pip Probert, who started in 2005 at the age of 22, this is a story that is quite inspirational. Quite inspirational as possibly an understatement. Let's welcome her to the show if we can. And please, in the meantime, if you are listening to this in the future in podcast, please do show our Sideshow sponsors at Currency Fair on Twitter, currencyfair.com. Send them a note. Say thanks, lads. Appreciate you sponsoring such show. Peter has made me smile. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy.
Brought to you by Currency Fair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Pip Probert, you are very welcome to the Sideshow.
Thank you very much.
Pip, I was surprised and not surprised. If Tim Howell is recommending that I talk to you, it's usually for very good reason, number one. Number two, based on then my sincere and real research, you seem to have done it extremely well since 2005.
It's been busy. I think sometimes people are passionate about what they do and truly do enjoy it. And I do truly enjoy my job. And we've just had a lot of opportunities that have come my way very unexpectedly. It's not quite the way I thought life was going to pan out. I'm very glad that it did.
What age are you, can I ask, Pip?
At the moment, 33.
You're a young girl. So 2005, that's 11 years ago. So that means when you were 22, you did your first show, Gardeners.
Yeah, I think so. I think, 21, 22. And now we've done 24.
24 what?
Show gardens and special features and things like that.
Holy good God. Well, what's the backstory on this, Pip? Did you go to college? Did you study horticulture?
I did, yeah. When I first started, it was actually landscape architecture that I thought was the route I wanted to take. I thought that meant it was the best course because I thought there would be more information on it. But once I actually got onto the course, I realised that it wasn't as strong on horticultural content. After a year, I decided that it wasn't quite right for me and I swapped and went to garden design. So that way I could pick up more horticultural information and plants and things, because I think the best way to describe it is that whereas everyone else was kind of adding an acre of oak there and 2 acres of sorbus over here, I was making everything into very small little pockets and having crocosmia and alcanella and all these lovely little things that other people didn't seem to really pick up on or didn't know what they were. So it felt right to break things down into the smaller, more intimate space and work on gardens rather than landscapes.
Well, let me backtrack on that question slightly, because I went and studied horticulture when I was about 17, but I had probably done my first garden at about 10 years of age. I had been, as such, bingo terms, I had been growing plants under my bed when I was 5 years of age. I was cutting grass at 7, 6, 8 years of age. Were you doing that kind of thing, or you know, and without making it sound like a silly billy bit of a conversation, but just to put in context, I have a 6-year-old daughter who makes muck pies, and as previously noted on previous shows, tends to put, you know, daisy flowers and grass underneath my pillow, but she's not into plants, so to speak. Which were you?
I suppose probably not really. I did garden. You know, my mum and my dad, they're keen gardeners. My granddad was a very keen gardener. He loved his. So I was always outside and doing things. But I can't say that I honestly thought at that age that was the route for me. It sounds daft, but I've come in really more from the artistic route. Drawing, I was always drawing, always playing with colours and painting and things. And so sitting in the garden, they were my subjects. That was what I used to draw, plants and landscapes. And, you know, if we ever went on holiday, I'd be, take a picture of that for me, Dad. And, you know, I'd draw it as soon as I got home, or be drawing it there and then.
Just as a by the way and of note, your location at this moment in time is exactly where?
I'm actually in what will be a swimming pool, sunk into the ground in the back of one of the gardens that we're working on at the moment.
Okay. Okay, so if sounds are a little bit off for those of you listening in podcast land, you now know why. Pip is actually, well, you're not in the swimming pool with water in it, as in where somebody may go on an exotic holiday. Yours, I would gather, in the middle of October is probably more a big pile of clay and dirt.
It is. We've got a nice concrete floor and a block wall around us, and we've got the fittings going in, and we're just adding concrete to the outside sides for reinforcement. So no, it's not quite as exotic as it sounds.
And for those listening at home, just in case you don't believe me, what I will do is I will ask Pip to take a photograph, a selfie of herself, and we will put this up on sideshow.com as part of today's show notes. So if you head to sideshow.com, you will see a photograph of Pip
Probert, standing in all her ye finery in the middle of what is to be, but not as yet, a swimming pool. What is this project that you're working on? I gather it's a little bit more than a swimming pool, Pip.
It is, yeah. It's a project that I designed last year. And it's a self-built house, and we're actually doing all of the grounds here, so front, back gardens. And there was a swimming pool in the design, but we actually didn't think that we were going to be working on that. It was meant to be done before we got here. I think with any self-built project, things don't always go to plan, and so we've ended up doing the swimming pool as well. So slightly unexpected, but nice, makes a nice change.
Let's go a slightly different direction. We're kind of going backwards and a little bit forwards at the same time. As Sideshow listeners would be well aware, I have a tendency to just go entirely off the point and come entirely back to it, I'm told, in brackets. Explain to me, Pip, the first show garden that you ever did.
The first one was a back-to-back garden. So it was 6 metres by four. It was for a young couple, maybe the first garden that they'd ever had, kind of breaking away from what mum and dad or nan and granddad had. And we had lots of stainless steel and turf stepping stones and turf seating. Yeah, and stainless steel raised planters.
That obviously achieved medal, I gather.
It did. It got a bronze. But a bronze I'm very proud of.
A bronze at 22 years of age at Tatton Park, who I should add, Tatton, they are former guests of the show. We had the deputy head of Tatton Park on the show. Let's sidetrack then, because you've kind of gone a stage further then, and you went into, let's say, pick the one from BBC Gardeners Were Alive. Do you remember that garden?
Which one, sorry?
Well, I'm unsure, Pip. Pick the big yourself up here. I mean, you've got my full attention. It's just me and you.
Well, we did. How many? We've done three at Gardeners Worldwide now. And one was majority planting. One was advanced by a paving company. So we were kind of emphasising that quite a lot. And then the last one that we did had a great big Volkswagen camper vehicle in the middle of it. With luminous colours painted all over it. So we've done all of different things.
Okay, I'm warming just slightly, as those who would know my show garden, my own personal show garden experience would be well aware. I had entirely different, but slightly also similar. We'll skip entirely past that because I am not the guest of the show. We are 2016, Pip. You've done so much within 12 years, approximately 20 plus show gardens and exhibits, all, as you have noted, have won medal. What is the future for a very young 33-year-young lady at the stage of the game? What's the next 12 years?
You know, I do know and I don't know. I think, like I said before, when I first started, I assumed it would be a case of saying hello to Mrs. Smith, 3 weeks there, then move on to next door and do Mrs. Jones and have, you know, design, build, a couple of weeks there and moving on. But somebody introduced me to the world of show gardens and my life changed. And so I think we have a very, very busy 2017 full of show gardens and other projects. We're also involved with a few other people. So we might be taking part in things like Ideal Home Show with a really amazing project down there. But I also teach as well. So over at the Royal Botanic Garden in Edinburgh, I have a really great bunch of students that have so many projects that they're involved in, but we're also doing show gardens with them next year. So there's another two. I don't know past that, to be honest. There's so many things that I want to try and want to do. And whenever anyone says, are you interested? I sign up straight away. But at the moment, I think what with all those things, and also we're doing a lot for Green and Grey Britain and also the RHS campaign for school gardening, which we're taking part in at the moment. I don't know what else there is to do.
Is it a case, though, where, and don't get me wrong, I don't want this to sound in any way morbid, but I have often said that by the age of 30 years of age, I pretty much would not have regretted anything that I did in my life, number one, although in brackets, I probably should have. But at the same token, I think I was one of those who always said yes to everything. My answer was always why not rather than why. It was always a case of yes and ask questions later and spend your logic money, the taxi fare, let's say, on that last point and just figure out how you're going to get home somewhere along the way. So I worked extremely hard, and I genuinely mean that extremely hard, make no bones about it. But at the same token, when it came to, let's say, a little bit of playtime, or a little bit of fun, then I was all up for that as well. And they were two kind of extremes in a sense. Is there a kind of a mantra in there where you kind of turn around and kind of go, yes, 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 and yes, and let's just see where it takes us? Or is it, no, Peter, it's all of the yeses, but I also turn down as much as I kind of take on, and I have a very strategic plan on where I want to go?
Ooh, I'm not sure. I'd like to be, you know, I'd like to be playing with the big boys and to do, you know, maybe Main Avenue things and to go on to projects that are possibly a little bit more meaty than what we're on now. But then I like the smaller jobs and the bittier things as well. I think it's probably I'll keep saying yes, but, you know, there are the odd occasions when I do say no, when maybe something isn't quite for me, or, you know, not quite the next step that I'd like to take. So it's not carry on regardless with yes, but I think I just see everything as an opportunity, and I want to be involved in so much that, you know, if someone comes to me with a good project, then I'm going to say yes.
What, and you noted it there, but and to quote you, you said two things. You said big boys and you said Main Avenue, and that for me is Main Avenue Chelsea, I would gather. And number two, the list that is on Main Avenue Chelsea are often considered to be a, let's say, a who's who of who you might like. So from our perspective, we would have had Paul Martin on the show, who won gold at Chelsea 2016. But Paul, I also know from talking to him and from chatting with him, would have done Hampton for a couple of years previous. Are you kind of at the Hampton Court Palace Flower Show level? Have you done there yet?
Hampton is the only one that I haven't done yet. I have done Chelsea, obviously not a Main Avenue, but we are hoping to get to Hampton next year. Obviously, gardens haven't been selected yet. I don't know. I think I've actually, some things have happened in a strange order for me, really. I'm when I very first got started and I won a gold quite early on. That brought in Main Avenue garden applications for me. And so I think I came second about four times, and a lot of it came down to age, which, you know, I totally understand. If you're going to give somebody a very large budget, you would probably go for the person that quite obviously has more experience. So no, I think I would jump at the chance. If somebody offered it to me, I feel that we could handle it.
Well, here's the other side of it, though, because Conor Brophy, who writes for the Sunday Business Post in Ireland, he wrote an article about the Sideshow, and he compared the Sideshow and what I am doing to an almost Jamie Vardy story, the Leicester City football player who 4 years ago was playing non-league football and 4 years later is on the start of BBC Match of the Day holding the Premier League trophy. And you have to turn around at some point or other and say, well, I'm going to put my trust. And I have always said this, that garden design is one thing. There is obviously the tried and trusted methods, and there are the tried and trusted names. But equally, if I take somebody like Paul, I take Paul Martin, I take Darren Jacques, I take anybody at all, and I turn around and say to them, where did it start? What was the catalyst? What was the twist? What was that moment in time where it changed? And what you realise is it wasn't just one click. It was that conversation that got you your first garden in Tatton, that got you bronze at 22 years of age, and then you work all the way up. And I will still ask you the same question again: not only how did you get to Tatton, but also how did you end up in Chelsea? How did you evade an eclipse doing Hampton Court? And is it a series of mishaps, or is there one thing? No, Peter, this was the defining thing that happened in my career where this made this happen.
I think I ended up going to Chelsea before Hampton. So my medal history kind of started off with a bronze and then a gold. The second one was also a back-to-back. So I instantly not wanted more, but wanted to to prove myself, wanted the chance. So I jumped up from that category to a show garden the next year and got a silver gilt. I then had a lot of people telling me that you could do this, you know, this could happen. Why don't you try this? Well, I don't need a lot of pushing, to be honest. So instantly I applied the next year for Chelsea, thought I wouldn't get in, but didn't realise that, you know, on the back of my gold, I had a good chance of getting in. So I ended up, Tatton Park is my home show, I should say. So that's why I tend to treat that as a priority. But again, maybe being naive, maybe being a little bit stupid, I applied for Chelsea and with a small 5x5, I think it was an urban chic, that was the category. And I also applied for my very, very, very large show garden at Tatton Park. Then this is a stupid bit, also a back-to-back at Tatton Park, because why not? And got in for all of them. So ended up building three gardens the next year. I don't really know why. I think just because I wanted to and the opportunity came around, and it's something that I had to pay for myself. I wasn't sponsored. So it was kind of, this is it. This is what I want to do, and I'm going to start to make a name for myself. That was probably a year that kicked a lot of things off, because all of a sudden I wasn't just that young girl that turns up, that normally it's mostly men and there's no young ones on site, and all of a sudden this curly haired girl standing in the gateway saying, let me in, to actually people were starting to know who I was.
Me and you now have something in common, because I had in 2008 a sponsor that I don't want to be in any way disrespectful, but the essentially the money didn't come through. And I had an option to either turn around and can that garden build and say, well, you've lost a few bob, learn your lesson, smack on the hand, and you move on. And that's the business side, or the downside of, I guess, being creative, is that money must be taken into consideration. In reality, what happened was I went ahead knowing that I didn't have the money to complete the garden, therefore did not have the money to win award. But essentially, I self-funded a project that in hindsight I possibly should not have done, says my accountant, but the little people in my head said, no, Peter, this is a brilliant idea, the best thing you ever did, you should go ahead and do this. Now, I know the costs on that were five figures, and I know they started with a number greater than a four and greater than a five. You did three of these. If you don't mind me asking, do you look back on that and say, Pip, you are mildly insane? And number three, where did you get the money for this? Are you married to Rupert Murdoch? How did this all happen?
No, it didn't cost as much as, just by making good contacts, trying to get different items sponsored, we managed to cut the cost quite a lot. So the thing that crippled me the most was the labour costs, because obviously nobody can work for free, can they? Apart from show garden designers. So in hindsight, I don't do regret. So I certainly don't regret it. I think life's for living, and I would never change anything, not at all. My accountant has given up telling me that, you know, I shouldn't spend money on things like that, because he knows I don't listen. No, I do think that I probably will never be rich, and I don't think that many people in horticulture will, really, but I'm doing something that I love, and I think that you have to give yourself a chance, and the only person that can do that is you. And I did that, and I borrowed a bit off the folks and things like that, but it was worth it, and it did get me known, if you like. And I'm not famous, and I don't want to be, but it, in terms of being a designer, whether it be jewellery or fashion or anything, you kind of have to be known. You have to people have to want you. And, you know, if that kicked up awareness, then it can only be a good thing, is the way that I look at it.
You have I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you, because there are things that I have done in my life, and recently I had the conversation with a gentleman by the name of Warren, and Warren was asking me, why do Two Spots Coffee, get involved with the Sod Show. And for those who listen at home, this isn't for me to big them up or to, inverted commas, mention the sponsors. This is an actual conversation that took place. Why are they official coffee suppliers to the Sod Show? Why does Currency Fair give you money so that you can buy microphones and go to the Garden Media Guild stuff and do all of these things? Why does Peter, with a full-time job, with a business, with a mortgage, with two dogs and formerly four hens, now two, do this thing where you're not going to make money? And like you said, even in the industry that I'm in, which is essentially horticulture, you're not going to get rich. And I was saying to him, you're missing the point, Warren. You're looking at it from a financial perspective. This isn't about that. The little people in my head, as I call them, turn around and say, do you know what you should do instead of playing golf? You should do this. You should go a bit broke. You should break your Barney laughing. I could have used another word there. But essentially, that the people, the family, the reason why people get involved, as my T-shirt used to say, it's not the winning that counts, it's the arsing around. Or in normal language, that should read, it's never the point of where you're going to, it's always the getting there. Do you look at it like that? Do you have a big happy family who just go, oh my god, they answer the phone and go, oh my god, it's Pip, what the, is she up to this time? Do you get that?
Yeah. Definitely. When I walk through the door and my family are all there, then it's kind of like they're all posed waiting to hear what's happened today. But to be honest with you, my family are so supportive, and I couldn't really do it without them, because when I did get started, I was young and I didn't have loads of experience, and my family aren't in horticulture. So all of a sudden I ended up having to do things at a cheaper rate. So the family came in and worked with me for free, and that kick-started things. And to this day, they still turn up at every single show we do. They'll do an awful lot of work, but I wouldn't have it any other way, because they have done all 24 with me, and so therefore they know how it needs to be mulched, and they know how this needs to go on. They know how to lay the turf around the outside how we like it, because they've been involved in them all. And then they get excited like I get excited. And if I turned around and said, you know what, I'm having a year off this year, I think my mum would actually kill herself. She would be absolutely gutted. My dad's currently upset because I haven't applied for Malvern, but we just simply can't fit another one in. He's a little bit upset and keeps, you know, dropping little hints that actually he would have liked to have gone there, but I can't fit it in. So we're all very close and all get involved, and it works for us that way.
Pip, we will have you back on the show, and I'll tell you something for free. I'd nearly call you just for the sake of calling you, just to find out what you're doing next anyway. Pip Probert, thank you so much for your time. A real pleasure. Thank you, Pip.
All right, then. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was the very wonderful Pip Probert of Outer Spaces. She is Outer Spaces GD on Twitter. She is outerspaces.org.uk. If you are stuck and you're on the road and you're cycling or you're driving and you're listening to this, don't stop. There's an S Club 7 song in there somewhere, but don't stop. Don't stop, never get up, never get right and reach the top. Enough of that. Don't stop. Right, now it's going around in my head. Now it's probably in your head. I'm really sorry. I'm genuinely, God, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Right, moving straight on. Where was I? Oh, yeah. It's happening again. I can't stop it, can I? Okay. Go to sodshow.com. You'll find all of the show notes, all of the links there, and a wonderful photograph of Pip midway through the build of her swimming pool with a man on a high wall sitting in the background. What a wonderful photograph, and thank you genuinely, Pip. Also to our show sponsors, Currency Fair, currencyfair.com. Go to currencyfair.com. In fact, if you go via sodshow.com and click it, they will give you a free trade. Do set up an account. Do show them some love there at Currency Fair on Twitter. Without them, without you listening, and without them knowing that you're listening, this sideshow, this interview would not have taken place. And genuinely, lads, from the heart, to all of you listening and sponsoring, I am so very, very, very grateful. It does mean so much. And also a huge thanks to Melinda of Time and Place, who sent me a note last week. And Melinda literally just wanted to let me know that her sideshow t-shirt has arrived. She says, quote, what? WOOT! as only the hipster young groovy people can say so. Only thing missing is the coffee stain. I can fix that, CC at Sideshow. Melinda, thank you so much. I'll be honest with you, I thought it was only going to be me who would order a Sideshow t-shirt, but apparently that is not the case. I now want to sing We Are Family instead of S Club 7, but that's another day's work altogether. Once again, thank you so much to Pip. Thank you so much, Tim, for putting me directly in touch with her. To you for listening, and also to our show sponsors, Currency Fair, currencyfair.com or Currency Fair on Twitter. Thank you so much. That's genuinely from the heart, very much appreciated. If you're stuck for anything, at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow and sideshow.com. Take care. Have a great weekend in the great outdoors. Enjoy. Thank you. Salam. Cheers.